If you live in northwestern Wisconsin, you may be getting more up close and personal with some of your neighbors than you'd like. According to the DNR, black bears are saturating the area, leading to more encounters between humans and their garbage-loving neighbors than is likely to be safe.
To cut down on brushes between humans and bears, the state DNR is issuing more bear hunting permits in the northern part of the state this year, with the season approaching next week. But it remains a fact that a lot of Wisconsin is living side by side, almost literally, with bears.
We want to know how you cope with living in close proximity to black bears. Do they scare you, or are they just part of living in northern Wisconsin? And what precautions do you take to keep them at a safe distance?
And do you think the DNR is right to curb the numbers of bears in Wisconsin? Call it at 800-642-1234. You can also share your close encounter stories. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
David Drake is with us now. He's Associate Professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison and UW Extension Wildlife Specialist. David, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So, David, can you give us a sense of just how dense the bear population is in northwestern Wisconsin right now?
Well, I think instead of maybe looking at the northwestern Wisconsin, we'll look at the whole state. And because these animals are moving around. And
they don't stay in one place,
it's
right?
It's hard to count them, you know, to the exact number. So the DNR predicts or estimates there's probably between 20 and 25,000 bears statewide. Most of those are concentrated in the upper third of the state where prime bear habitat is, and then in the what's called the Central Forest region around the Black River Falls area, in that area. But because the bear population seems to be growing in numbers and they seem to be saturating some of the prime habitat up in the northern part of the state, that we are occasionally seeing bears push further south into Wisconsin. And, you know, in the years past, we've had bears in Milwaukee and around Madison and other areas, Eau Claire and things like that. So they're moving.
So do you have a sense of why the population is up this year?
Well, you know, the DNR is the management agency responsible for managing all of the wildlife in Wisconsin. And the primary tool they use to manage bear population, as with all game species, and a game species is defined as a species where you can harvest it either through hunting or trapping. So the DNR primarily manages the bear population through hunting. And it's a kind of a fine line between trying to issue enough hunting permits and that enough people harvest a bear to try to keep that population in check. But there's a lot of very good habitat out there. You know, the bears are kind of a generalist species, and they have a lot of different food resources that they utilize, from crops to animals. And so they're an omnivore. And as with any population that's growing, that means their habitat is in good shape. So they've got enough cover or shelter and enough food and other resources they need.
Now, in terms of actual risk to humans, put it into perspective. How big a risk are black bears? Should I come across one on my hike through the woods?
Well, I think it's probably all relative. You know, if I saw a black bear in the wild, I would be thrilled to death, even if it was somewhat close to me. But I think I'm a little bit more comfortable than perhaps somebody who may not be out in the woods so much. So it is a relative issue. I think for the most part, black bears are a relatively benign creature. And, you know, considering how many there are, especially not just in Wisconsin, but in the entire eastern half of the United States, the black bear population is increasing in most of their range. So considering how many people we have in the United States and black bears, we don't really hear about that many conflicts aside from bears getting into trash or eating birdseed or something like that. We don't have a lot of very aggressive attacks on people or death caused by black bears and things like that. With that being said, they certainly cause enough conflict. You know, they can attack livestock and cattle. They can attack pets. They certainly can and have attacked and killed people. And so it's a relative thing. But, you know, for the most part, if you are not causing a problem toward a bear, certainly not getting in between the mom and the cubs and things like that, even if you're on the trail, the bear many times is probably as interested in getting away from you as you are from it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've always heard growing up in Wisconsin that it's the mother and cub scenario that you have to look out for, but that 9 times out of 10, you know, the bear will just run away from you. And,
yep.
And we used to stay at a resort up in the northern third of the state, and the guy who owned it would say, I was out yelling at the bears last night, and they just turn around and leave, and usually that's what they do. It's that 10th time that you got to worry about.
Well, and the problem is when bears, and this is true for all animals, but wildlife, when wildlife starts to lose their fear of humans, they habituate or get used to us. And as that occurs, then they don't turn and run away from us. Instead, they realize that, you know, humans don't pose danger to them. And that's when conflicts start to occur more increasingly, and they can also get more aggressive. And so the key is to not allow those animals and bears or whatever the wildlife is to habituate to human beings. And so we want to kind of put the fear of humans into them. And one of the ways to do that is to hunt the population. And, you know, there's no better way to scare an animal than start shooting a gun at it. And once they start realizing, you know, last time I saw a human being and they were trying to, kill me, I'm going to be a little bit more leery about going around human beings. But it's that habituation issue that really causes a lot of conflicts between bears and humans.
Is this a controversial move, as you see it, upping the number of bear hunting permits?
Again, it's a relative issue. You know, if you're not in favor of hunting, you're probably not in favor of this move by the DNR. If you're in favor of hunting, especially if you're a bear hunter, you would applaud this because bear hunting is it's not like deer hunting, for example. If you apply for a deer tag, you get a deer tag. In bear hunting, it's a lottery system or a permit system. So this year, for example, they had over 108,000 people apply for a bear hunting license, and they only issued, I think, a little over 10,000 permits. And so what happens, the wait time to get a bear permit, if you're a bear hunter, is upwards of 9 years. And so that means that once every 9 years, if you're investing in bear dogs and you're investing in land to hunt bears and things like that, you may only have an opportunity once every 9 years. Now, that 9 year is kind of an extreme number. You know, sometimes it's 4 or 5 years, or sometimes it's down 1 or 2 years. You might have to wait depending on what zone you're applying for and things like that. So I think it depends on your perspective. If you're a bear hunter, you are in favor of this. If you are perhaps somebody that lives in bear country and you're experiencing a lot of conflict with bears, you probably would be in favor of this.
Now, you said before we came on the air that some states don't hunt bears at all, and they've got a lot of them. New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey is an interesting state for a whole bunch of reasons, but they have a growing bear population out there, and they've tried to institute a number of hunts, and each time they've courted controversy, and the hunts have been shut down by animal welfare groups and things like that. And I'm not sure. I haven't followed New Jersey for the last couple of years. I do believe that they finally were able to institute a hunt, but there had been so many years without bear hunting that you're going to need a number of successive years of bear hunting to put enough pressure on the bear population to reduce it, and then hopefully reduce the conflicts that come along with the population.
Is a bear considered a predator? You said they're omnivorous. They don't generally attack humans. So is it fair to put them under the designation predator or not?
Well, from a wildlife, biologist standpoint, which I am, I think of predator prey in terms of a bear predating on its natural prey, which might be a deer fawn, for example, or, it might come across, a nest of turkey eggs or something like that. And so in that regard, it is a predator. It's not black bears are much more benign than grizzly bears. And so, for example, you hear a lot more about aggressive attacks on human beings from grizzly bears because they are much more of a predatory animal in that regard. But, black bears, I would not call them a predator by any stretch of the imagination on a human being.
Gotcha. That
we're not obviously part of their natural prey base to begin with, but they are a predator because they do eat other animals.
Well, so some interesting stories coming out of northwestern Wisconsin, and our own Rich Kramer reported on people coming downstairs finding bears in their refrigerator. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say about what it's like when you live kind of shoulder to shoulder with bears in northern Wisconsin. And we're going to go to our first caller now. We've got Barb with us in Jackson County. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I find this really interesting. I know I'm not a hunter, but I would love to see more permits issued, because I've lived in the middle of the woods a little bit south of Black River for over 22 years, and just recently, the last 2 years, they've been taking my feeders down, and then just most recently this spring, I have a garden not too far from the house, and in broad daylight, I looked out there, and there was a big black bear, and I ran out in the deck and started screaming, and it was not afraid of me. It just sauntered down the driveway very slowly, and so we like to go walking, we like to be in the woods, berry picking, and like I said, that's really changed for around here.
Interesting. Well, thanks a lot for sharing your experience, Barb. Barb using, I guess, the tried and true technique of screaming at the bear. I don't know if there's anything more high tech that people can do, but what is, does she do well? Is that what you got to do?
So Barb, that's a good call, and that's a good example you used about the bird feeders. And typically what we recommend is if you live in bear range, when bears, obviously they're a hibernatory species, so they would typically go into hibernation maybe around the end of October and will come out roughly end of March, somewhere in there. So from maybe April 1st until November 1st, if you're in bear range, you want to make sure you take your bird feeders down. You want to make sure that you have your, when you put your trash out for the trash collector, you want to make sure it's in some kind of a bear-proof container. So all those things are attractants. And a lot of the bears that humans have conflicts with are the two-year-old males or you know, two or a little bit younger than males, because those are the animals that are getting pushed out of the maternal territory. And they're kind of like a, you know, a dumb, you know, 16-year-old teenager driving down the road for the first time and not sure what exactly is going on. So they're kind of just ranging across the landscape trying to find their own way. And all of a sudden they come across a trash can or bird feeder, and they're opportunistic. So one of the best things that we can do as human beings is not to put attractants out that would encourage bears to come into our yard or into our area. And so, Barb, if you can take your bird feeders down during this year, the time of the year the bears are active, that will start to decrease the bear activity in your yard. And the birds don't need the help with the bird feeders in the summer and spring because there's so much natural food available to them anyway. And this is true for Barb or anybody else, but if you live in bear territory and you're having repeated visits to your yard by bears, you can either call the DNR, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, in your area. So call your county biologist or your conservation officer, or call the United States Department of Agriculture Wildlife Services Office, which is a federal agency, and they've got offices in Rhinelander and Waupun, and you can find them by Googling USDA Wildlife Services, and they will come out and perhaps trap the bear and relocate it for you, or also help you with some other bear mitigation practices or bear management practices that can help reduce the amount of bears in your area.
We're talking right now about the bear population in northern Wisconsin with David Drake, Associate Professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison.
And we want to hear from you. Should the DNR try to curb the bear population with more hunting here in the state? Do you have a black bear encounter that you can share with us? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking now with David Drake. He's Associate Professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison and a UW Extension Wildlife Specialist. We're talking about bear overpopulation in northwest Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin in general, and what it's like to live so closely with bears in some parts of the state.
And you can join in. Have you had that close encounter with a black bear? Are you a bear hunter yourself? Do you think the DNR is right to up the number of bear hunting permits here in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234 or post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
Now, David, to be clear, the number of permits that is being upped is in northwestern Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, so Wisconsin, for bear hunting purposes, is divided into four zones. And we've got, I believe it's Zone A, and if you, when it's the middle third of the state, contains three of the four zones. So we're talking about Zone D, and it's the southern half of Zone D, which is the northwestern part of the state. Zone C is the entire two-thirds of the state. So we're really talking about one half, the lower half of the northwesternmost zone.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's go back to our phones. Now, Dennis joins us in Green Bay. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. We've had a cabin in Mariner County since 2001, and in the years we've been there, the bear encounters have slowly, just steadily increased. We do exactly what Mr. Drake said. When the bird feeders, when the bear come out, we take the bird feeders down. You have to respect them, but in my experience, the larger bear, the quicker it will leave your property. The two-year-old males who are trying to establish their own property are the hardest to convince to leave your yard. So I don't know if Mr. Drake can confirm or deny that, but they are a beautiful animal. Do apply for a bear permit. I think the increase in permits is justified with the population. So, But they are a beautiful animal to see.
All right. Well, thank you, Dennis. Thanks for sharing your experience. He says the 2-year-old male is a little harder to convince. They need some persuading that it's time to leave the yard. Is that typical?
Yeah, that's. We discussed this a little bit earlier, but it is typically the 2-year-old males are the ones that are more commonly in conflict with humans and are in, raiding bird feeders and trash and things like that. And again, it's because those young males are getting pushed out of the maternal territory. And so they have to go out and establish their own territory and kind of find their way in the world, if you will. And it is similar to just a dumb old teenager, driving too fast down the road when they first get their license or not understanding how to drive. And those 2-year-old males are kind of learning how to make their way in the world.
All right, well, appreciate that. And we're going to read a Facebook comment now. Beldar says, if you live up north in the woods, you should expect bear interactions. Don't be foolish. Don't leave things out. Use common sense. They really don't want to see you, even less so than you want to see them. Now, in general, would you agree with that?
Yep, I would agree with that for the most part. Again, the problem is how people interact with bears and what people do. Some people, I agree with the common sense comment. Some people don't always use common sense, and they want to perhaps take a picture of the bear, and they think, well, I've got this donut. I'll feed the bear, the donut, and try to get a closer picture. And so that, creates conflict because you're getting that bear closer than it should be. It also creates conflict for the next person walking down the trail who may not realize you just fed that bear. And once you start getting that bear habituated, it gets used to when it associates people with food. And then as people come down the trail, it gets closer to the people because it's expecting a donut. And so it's not fair to your fellow people out there on the trail or wherever you might be. So, yeah, common sense is a very good thing to use in the woods.
All right. And let's go down to Dan, who's joining us in Brule. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
All right, yeah, hey, I just want to say that I agree with what your speaker is talking about there because, I live with the bears. I'm in the woods, and I enjoy them as neighbors. I live in their neck of the woods, so I'm just kind of visiting. What I would like to see is the professor of the university try to do outreach where they're letting people know from the cities we're not in down – when we live in northern Wisconsin, you're not in downtown – whatever, Madison or Milwaukee, whatever. And too often, people try to make the woods their downtown instead of enjoying it just as woods, and they're creating more problems for the bear. I have harvested bears. Bear hunting is a really dedicated sport. And the thing is that you got to learn to respect them. And I think that other caller already mentioned it. The common sense is so important because they're so much fun to watch.
All right. Well, thanks, Dan. Dan's speaking to people coming up and sounds like not treating the woods with the respect that they're due. Is there a case to be made there?
I think there probably is to some extent. Dan, that's a pretty good point. And, there's been a lot of written in books and other things about this disconnect between human society in America, especially in the outdoor world, and especially amongst younger generations. And so, it's not like previous generations where people spent a lot of time outdoors and they were comfortable in the woods and comfortable encountering different types of wildlife. And nowadays, a lot of people go to the woods and they want to get outside, and we encourage them to be outside because it's a very good, healthy thing to do. But people don't always realize, there are things you should and shouldn't do when you're out there. It's a learning process. For sure.
Things have changed. I mean, when I was going up north as a kid, we would go to what it's called the bear dump, and you'd go to a trash place, and you'd sit in your car, and the bears would come out, and they'd rip through the trash, and you'd sit in your car.
Right.
But then you'd hear stories about people who tried to get the bears close to the car. So apparently, there's education out there. Yep. Some things have happened, but everyone isn't on the same page.
Yeah, and Dan, that's a good point about outreach. There's a tremendous amount of outreach that we do through the Extension Service. I know the Department of Natural Resources does a tremendous amount of outreach, as does the Wildlife Services, that federal agency I mentioned earlier, about how to live with bears. And there's a lot of websites and written material and as well as spoken word out there about how to help people live with bears. So, but more can always be done, that's for sure.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Dan. And next is Jackie in Drummond. Hey, Jackie.
Well, yes, this discussion just makes me crazy. You tell us to not have garbage out, not to feed the bears. And they've been baiting bears for 2 months with donuts and cookie dough and lard. And, it just seems like, you're giving a mixed message. And this just, I don't understand this. why two months ago they could start putting all this stuff out. And I was wondering, where are people allowed to bait the bears?
Is that the definition of bear baiting, feeding them donuts? I always thought it was a little different.
Well, you can bait. The only thing you can't bait with specifically is animal products. So you mentioned lard, and that typically is a fat, you know, from animals. So you cannot bait with animal products. And Jackie, I understand your confusion over this. There are very, very tight regulations about when you can bait for bear, how you can bait for bear. So, for example, in that lower part of Zone D, that they've had positive chronic wasting disease found up there. And where you have chronic wasting disease, you cannot bait because it spreads the disease amongst the deer population. So one of the things about bear baiting is you can bait, but you have to bait in a way that does not provide that bait accessible to deer. And so there are very, very tight regulations about how you bait, when you can bait, what you can bait with, and things like that. And the reason baiting is allowed and the reason the use of dogs is allowed is those are two tools to increase the efficiency of harvesting a bear. And typically, if you bait and you use a dog or dogs, that you have a higher success rate than if you perhaps you don't bait. And if we've got a growing bear population, I know this doesn't make a lot of sense to people who don't hunt, but if you've got a growing population, you want to put as much harvest pressure on that population and try to regulate that population so you can bring the population back down to goal. And baiting and the use of dogs, for example, are two ways to do that.
So we're running out of time here, but you can keep this conversation going on the Central Time Facebook page. Leave us your bear stories there. And David, in our last minute, you said there's education out there about living side by side with bears. In our last 30 seconds or so, what should we do right?
Well, for certain, do not provide any attractants. So make sure, again, your bird feeders are taken down during bear activity and no trash is available to them and things like that. Use common sense if you encounter a bear in the wild. You know, don't approach the bear. Back off quietly and slowly. You know, don't be a threat to the bear. If the bear starts coming at you, make loud noises, make yourself big. Perhaps throw sticks or rocks at it and things like that. And then report an aggressive bear so that bear can be taken care of.
Great. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with David Drake, Associate Professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison, and he's a UW Extension Wildlife Specialist.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. The news is coming up next right here on Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.